Good evening and welcome everyone to the Simple Actions Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Amy and I am an alcoholic.
Hi, Amy.
For those of you who care to join us, let's open the meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance this evening. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively, which are across the main foyer and up a small flight of stairs. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of simple actions. These actions are contained in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA's simple actions. I will now read the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open, big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. This evening, we are discussing steps 5, 6, and 7. Please welcome our panel, Johnny and Charlotte. I will read the first paragraph on page 72, and then the panel will share for a few minutes each on the reading. Page 72. Having made our personal inventory, what shall we do about it? We have been trying to get a new attitude, a new relationship with our Creator, and to discover the obstacles in our path. We have admitted certain defects. We have ascertained in a rough way what the trouble is. We have put our finger on the weak items in our personal inventory. Now, these are about to be cast out. This requires action on our part, which, when completed, will mean that we have admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our defects. This brings us to the fifth step in the program of recovery mentioned in the preceding chapter. This is perhaps difficult, especially discussing our defects with another person. We think we have done well enough in admitting these things to ourselves. There is doubt about that. In actual practice, we usually find a solitary self-appraisal insufficient. Many of us thought it necessary to go much further. We will be more reconciled to discussing ourselves with another person when we see good reason why we should do so. The best reason first: if we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking. Time after time, newcomers have tried to keep to themselves certain facts about their lives. Trying to avoid this humbling experience, they have turned to easier methods. Almost invariably, they got drunk. Having persevered with the rest of the program, they wondered why they fell. We think the reason is that they never completed their house cleaning. They took inventory all right, but hung on to some of the worst items in stock. They only thought they had lost their egoism and fear. They only thought they had humbled themselves. But they had not learned enough of humility, fearlessness, and honesty in the sense we find it necessary until they told someone else all their life story. Whoever.
Sure, I'll go first. Hi, I'm Johnny. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Johnny.
My sobriety date is September 25th, 2013. It's a pleasure to be here tonight. I do have a home group. It's Friday Nooners. I can't think of the church now to save my life, but it's right around the corner.
Christ in St. Luke's.
Christ in St. Luke's. Great. Thank you. I'm not used to just jumping in like this. I can tell you, when I came to you guys, I can't honestly say I wanted to quit drinking. That was not my experience. I had a lot of people telling me I should, everybody that knew me. I had a doctor say that I was going to die. I was a mess when I came to you guys. I had jaundice. My liver was shut down a couple of times, and I really just didn't understand what the problem was. And, I'm looking out at you guys, and I got sober sitting right out there with, you know, looking at the people on these tables going through the steps. And there was a guy that was one of your home group members, Evan, who I talk about a lot because he kind of led the way for me. We sat in the back row and would make fun of you guys. And then he left and came back. And he went from the back row to the front row, and he started doing this. And it was the first time that I experienced that you guys had something I wanted. And to be flat out honest with you, it was funny. I got the same sponsor as him, and which was Dave. And Dave, you know, was big into throwing us into service work, and it was a lot of fun. And I really can't tell you, I on my fourth step, that I jumped right into it, because I did not. I can remember telling you that, you know, I'm doing the fear. He goes, why are you on fear? You're supposed to be on this. And then I was such a loony. I would go to fairgrounds with my notebook and pretend like I'm doing inventory because you guys hung out there. And this guy, Evan, finished his inventory and was doing his fifth step. And it's exactly how it went down. Dave, who we shared the same sponsor with, goes, yeah, I'm doing the fifth step with Evan next week. And I was like, crap, I got to do an inventory. And I literally, that's why I did my inventory. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Johnny. I'm Charla. I'm an alcoholic. And my sobriety date is just a couple months before Johnny. We sort of got sober together. It's July 18th, 2013. I have a home group. I actually got sober here in Norfolk, but we moved to Yorktown, and my home group is Grace Episcopal, Shoulder to Shoulder. We have a closed big book study on Thursday nights at 7, and an open speaker on Saturday nights at 7, and it's a beautiful church. It's historic, so please come and visit anytime. I did not jump into my fourth step either. I remember that I had to find the perfect notebook, and I had to, while I'm at it, I might as well find the perfect pen. But I think I was blessed in that I was talking to somebody tonight about she's actually a sponsee, and she had a friend that just recently got sober, but she struggled. She, just in the time that I've been sponsoring this girl, she's been to like 3 different rehabs, and she said, I really got to see her like come to believe that she was an alcoholic. But I knew I was an alcoholic for a long time, and unlike Johnny, I wanted to quit drinking because I didn't want to die. I mean, I was dying at the end. And so I pretty much did everything that my sponsor told me to do, and I was blessed that I asked someone in detox, she came to speak to us to sponsor me. And it's just like there are no accidents or coincidences, because she's still my sponsor today. And I can just, from the get-go, I just felt like I could be completely honest with her. And I would stress that you just find somebody that you feel like you can be completely honest with. Because I remember one time early on, she said, I've never seen anyone so excited to do their fourth step before. But it wasn't so much that, it's just that I wanted to stay sober. And I felt really good. Like, I mean, honestly, I used to say it took a couple weeks, but I don't remember after entering detox ever having the desire to drink again. I mean, I thought about it, and, you know, I'm not going to say that those thoughts don't still happen occasionally, but I don't have that desire and that obsession. And that happened for me early on, and I know it's not like that for everyone, but I was lucky that way, I guess. And so I didn't put it off for too terribly long, and I went I remember my sponsor told me to pray before I wrote, so I you know, went to the library a couple times and did some writing, and I actually found it recently because I have a couple of sponsees who've made it to the fourth step, yay, and so that hasn't happened up until now, and so I pulled it out so that I could sort of show them. But because I had such a good relationship with my sponsor, she knew a lot of this. I mean, she knew a lot of what was in there. It was just sort of getting to the heart of it and figuring out, like, what was it about me? Because before I came in, I was such a victim. I mean, I just felt like, you know, I had things happen to me that nobody could relate to, and that's why that was a big part of why I drank. So it was enlightening to really look at everything on that list, all those resentments, and see what part I played in it and what those character defects were, and just to make me aware of that. That's all I have, thanks.
Okay, we're on page 73. More than most people, the alcoholic leads a double life. He is very much the actor. To the outer world, he presents his stage character. This is the one he likes his fellows to see. He wants to enjoy a certain reputation, but knows in his heart he doesn't deserve it. The inconsistency is made worse by the things he does on his sprees. Coming to his senses, he is revolted at certain episodes he vaguely remembers. These memories are a nightmare. He trembles to think someone might have observed him. As fast as he can, he pushes these memories far inside himself. He hopes they will never see the light of day. He is under constant fear and tension. That makes for more drinking.
Yeah, you know, when I purchased my shiny new big book and read through it, out of everything I hated in the book, this part of the book I hated the most, because it nailed me to a T. And I knew it. I knew it. Even as a young man, way before the drink, I believe I was an alcoholic, way before the drinking, I always was in a group of people. And then whenever anything went bad, and it was usually always, if you went back in any kind of inventory, it was my lies. Anything that went bad, I would just find another group. I would blend. And then I would tell lies because I wanted to fit in. It was great when you first come in because they don't know you. They don't know if it's the truth. And, you know, you tell big lies, and God help it if both groups collided, because then the truth comes out, and it was a big, huge fear. When I came to you guys, I literally thought I was angry. I thought that, I thought that the only problem was I had a bad liver. That was what I thought. And the truth of the matter was, I was not angry. I was terrified. I was scared of everything. I was just, I didn't know who I was. I didn't have a clue on how to find him out. And when I say, you know, I didn't want to quit drinking, that is the truth. But I can tell you for a fact I did not want to be me anymore. Thanks for letting me share.
Johnny. Yeah, I'm with Johnny. That when I first read that with my sponsor, I was just floored. Gosh, it's exhausting, isn't it? To have to sort of play that part all the time that you want everyone to see, and just knowing that I'm nothing like that. I'm just, I'm a mom. I have four kids, three at home, and three are special needs, and a couple of them severe special needs. Well, I say severe. I mean, it's not that bad, but, and I drank over that. I drank over, like I said, I was just a victim, and I remember, and my sponsor, the first time we met, told a similar, actually, I think it was just when I heard her speak, told a very similar story. I had a little part-time job, and I would work till 2, and I would get off by 2 so I could be home to get my kids off the bus. And I would hurry home, and I would make myself a big jumbo, you know, soda with a little splash of soda with vodka, and I would start working on that like immediately. And because they're special needs, the bus stops right in front of the house. So as soon as that bus pulled up, I would put that drink down real carefully, like the bus driver could see me, and then I would just prance out to the bus like I'm mom of the year, get my kid inside, they'd go do their thing, and I'd grab that drink. I mean, I was just, you know, and I was so, and people would say to me stuff like, God only gives special kids to special people. And I would be, and I had given up on God a long time before that, and I would think he doesn't have a clue what he's doing then, because I'm a mess. But I would try and keep it together to where I look like, you know, at the end, that was falling apart. I think a lot of people probably knew what was going on. But, you know, I would start, at the end, I was drinking probably at 10 in the morning, sometimes earlier. And if the kids were out of school, you know, I need to do something with the kids. I need to get them out of this house. So I'd fill a water bottle with vodka, pile them in the van, and take them to Target and spend a lot of money and, you know, just insanity. I was passing out at the end. I mean, two of my kids have seizures, so I would, before my husband would get home, you would find me pass out, just totally out of it. And unfortunately, or fortunately, I'm not really a blackout drinker. I don't black out a lot. I have a hard time remembering a lot of stuff, but I could pretty much remember the kind of stuff that I did at the end. I mean, my last night of drinking, I grabbed my husband and I was beating his head against the wall because he called me a liar. I don't even remember what it was about, but like Johnny said, I lied all the time because I was living this double life. I was just trying to hold it together. And I'd wake up the next morning, you know, wee hours of the morning, and just know I was going to do it all again, and there was nothing I could do about it. It was just going to be the same thing as yesterday, only worse, because it was getting worse. Thanks.
Continuing on page 75. When we decide who is to hear our story, we waste no time. We have a written inventory, and we are prepared for a long talk. We explain to our partner what we are about to do and why we have to do it. He should realize that we are engaged upon a life and death errand. Most people approached in this way will be glad to help. They will be honored by our confidence. We pocket our pride and go to it, illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. Once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, we are delighted. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. The feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel we are on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the Spirit of the universe.
Yeah, once again, I did not rush into this. We set an appointment, and I remember it, and I went to his house. And I, you know, even going way back, I remember my very first AA meeting. It was West Kent. And I remember looking at the steps, because at this point, the only thing I could really do is read. And I remember reading the steps. And I remember thinking, there is no way I'm telling these, no anybody this stuff, because then it becomes real. There was a couple things, it was just not going to happen. There's just no way I was ever going to do that. And there was no way I wanted anybody else to know what a scumbag I really was. And I remember those thoughts on there. I was driving a scooter at the time, and I drove up to his house, and I sat on this thing for a couple seconds. And, I mean, any sudden noise, I would have jackrabbited. I would have run. And I honestly don't believe I could have gotten sober any other way than I got sober, because it just went that way. If he'd opened the door, I would have got on that scooter and I would have run away. He didn't open the door. I had to get up there and knock. And I did. And I was terrified. I was absolutely terrified. And I sat down. And we talked for a few minutes. I'm going from what I remember. And I remember I said, so what happened was, and he stopped me cold. And he goes, why don't you just tell me? He says, I don't need to hear the colorful stories of your side, but just tell me what happened. And there was some really painful stuff to me, and it uncorked. A lot of people say they start with the small ones first. I got the big one out of the way, and I can't tell you that I did it. It just came out of me. It had to have been God, because I tell you what happened. I mean, I stole from somebody that was a dear friend. I lied about it, cost her job. She went and got another job and hired me. And that's when the drinking got really bad. And I never told anybody this. I was going to take this to my grave with me. And now, because of doing this fifth step, I can stand in front of a group of people, some of you I don't even know, and tell you that. I'm free of it. I am free of it. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks. I remember your scooter. That was awesome. Doing whatever it takes. That's what it's all about. I'm just so grateful that we have sponsors today. Like, we have like other alcoholics that we can hook up with, because, you know, they're talking about like you just kind of had to find somebody, and it could be a priest or whatever. But then can you imagine? You'd have to sit down and explain to them. And, yeah, just really cool that I'm sure I could, but I feel like I don't think I could do it with someone who wasn't an alcoholic like me. So I feel very fortunate that we have that. And we went to the library over by my, where I lived over here, but over by my house, and they actually had like a conference room they let us use. We just sat in there and did it. I mean, I always want to tell people, I just don't think it's that big a deal. Like, I know it feels like it, but let's just get on with it, you know, and do it. And it is pretty amazing. I didn't have, like, right afterwards, I didn't feel like that different, but with that next week, I think it really started to hit me. And I just love the way that I'm assuming Bill wrote this, but when you first read these kind of statements, because they're all through the big book, we feel we are on the broad highway walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. When I first read that, I thought, whatever. But it's so true. Like, now I read that and I get chills, because that happened to me. And I don't want to drink today, because I just followed these simple steps. And that's, like, amazing.
Still on page 75. Returning home, we find a place where we can be quiet for an hour, carefully reviewing what we have done. We thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know him better. Taking this book down from our shelf, we turn to the page which contains the 12 steps. Carefully reading the first 5 proposals, we ask if we have omitted anything, for we are building an arch through which we shall walk a free man at last. Is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on the cement put into the foundation? Have we tried to make mortar without sand?
Yeah. You know, I remember during that process that he wasn't judging me. I remember I had that feeling. He wasn't judging me. He had these, I hate to say it, but he's sitting here, but he had these kind eyes, and he shared stories with me and all of that. But after it was over, we hung out for a little while. We talked, we had some coffee, and I remember, I don't know how to describe it. It was ease. It was a weight lifted off of me. And he told me a story about how, you know, he was a nerdy guy, and that he actually put the book on the shelf and took it off. And I went home, and I was rooming with another person in AA. We had Renee's house, and there wasn't a shelf in my bedroom, but there was one in the living room. So I put the book in the living room. I went in my bedroom. I came back out, grabbed the book, and went back in my living room. I sat down. I said, "This is stupid." And I read the 5 steps, and I'd like to say I sat there for an hour. I'm not sure. I probably didn't, but I know that was when I learned to invite God in. I learned. I felt him then. I felt him. He was a part of my life. I really don't have anything else to share but that.
Okay. Yeah, I did the same thing. My sponsor said, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go home and follow the directions in this paragraph, and then sit quietly for an hour. I think maybe it says that in there. And she said she wanted me to call another alcoholic and then to call her and talk about it. And I did the same thing. I put it on a shelf and took it down. And, I looked at those first 3 steps. Am I convinced I'm powerless and my life is a mess? Yep. Do I believe? Do I feel God? Do I believe that I can turn everything over to him, that he can handle this way better than me? Absolutely. And I reviewed my 4th step, and I felt like, yeah, I'm good. And if I wasn't good, I prayed I was good because I felt like I was, and that's it. That's all I have on that.
We are moving on to page 76. If we can answer to our satisfaction, we then look at step 6. We have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. Are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable? Can he now take them all, every one? If we still cling to something we will not let go, we ask God to help us be willing.
Yeah. Willingness. You know, I kind of attribute this also to action. It's funny because even to this day, if there's an amends I owe, and I know I owe it and I haven't done it, I'm not too willing. I mean, you can throw the word willing, you know, I'm willing to do it. I mean, but the opportunity is there over and over and over again, and I haven't done it. And sometimes I always have that vision of God, you know, with the cattle prod. Sometimes I need to get zapped to get into it. You know, and I mentioned it the last one, inviting God into everything. I have to do that upon awakening. It talks about that in the book, but I am one of those. I have to even ask, you know, direct my thoughts towards you. I heard BJ share this at 101, I think it was last week or the week before, that, you know, I could trash my world on the way to the bathroom. And I can. And what that looks like is I know for a fact she's going to do this at work. I know it. I know it. And this is what I need to do this, to stop it from happening or doing that. And I have to say some prayers, and I have to let God take care of it and me not take that action. That to me is this embodiment. I mean, I could be wrong, but that's what I think about the sixth step. I hear this in meetings a lot. You know, I'm working on my defaults of character, and I'm like, how? What are you doing? To me, it's like, you know, I'm going to quit my job to work on my sobriety when you first come in the rooms. I understand it because I'm a drunk just like you, but I don't know how to do that. I just know how to do it the way it was explained to me. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Johnny. I mean, really, this step is really just about becoming willing to all that good stuff we got from the inventory, to have God take that away. I wish he just took it and, like, it just was gone, which I think thought was going to happen, but that's not what happened. But what happened still was nothing short of a miracle in the way that I started to think and act and all that good stuff. That's all I have on that.
Okay, and this is the last paragraph, page 76. When ready, we say something like this: My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. We have then completed step 7.
Yeah. It's so short in there, but it's so big. Because I know what I want it to look like. That's it in the essence. I know what I want it to look like. And what ends up happening when I follow through with these suggestions is it doesn't look anything like what I want it to look like. Nothing. But it comes out so much better. So much better. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. I don't even know what those are. I know what I think they look like, but I don't know what they are. I mean, I'm a jerk. Okay, well, maybe me being a jerk gets somebody sober. Do you know what I mean? Am I being honest? I know how to do that. I know how to do an inventory. I know how to say amends. I know how to do a fifth step now. I don't know how to fix my defects of character. I don't know how to do that. I have to let God do that. And the only way I know how to do that is just to trust. And man, standing on that limb is hard. It's not easy for me because I have big ideas. I'm one of those 0.001%. I actually have that in my book. Because if I have an idea, no matter what the odds are, I think I can do it. I think I can make it happen. I think that, you guys can tell I'm not a terribly tall guy, but I guarantee you if I put my mind to it and get a little bit of training, I can take on Michael Jordan and a horse. I mean, these are the kind of things that I think I can do. And I can't do any of this. I mean, God can do it. And that's about all I have on that. I just have to trust him. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing. Yeah, I say that prayer every morning along with the third step prayer almost every morning. I'm going to be honest. Sometimes I don't or forget or whatever. But I try to say it every morning because I need to start over every morning. I've gotten a lot better. I was so selfish. Like that is probably my biggest character defect. And manipulative, that literally everything that I thought I was like the most selfless person in the world. I'm taking care of these kids. My husband's in the military. I don't ever do for me, but it permeated all of my actions and words, I think. So, today I really think before I speak, or I don't speak at all. And I really try and look at my motives, because I could do something in the past, like, I don't know, take a sick friend a casserole. I mean, not that I was doing that at the end. I don't really ever remember doing that until I got sober. But I could do something like that, but it was only, I made sure everybody knew it. And I made sure I got lots of credit for anything that I did. Because, like I said, I really cared about what they thought of me. That was another thing that was all through the... I was looking at my fourth step with my husband. My resentments against him. He judges me, and he doesn't help around the house or with the kids. And, you know, some other crap on there. And, I was judging everybody. Like, that was a lot of my resentments, were that they judged me. My thing was, you don't know me, but I know you. I know exactly your type. And I know, you know, and I would try and get in your head and just be what you wanted me to be. And so I think now, today, I just have, like, hopefully more empathy before I say something, even if I'm like in traffic and somebody cuts me off or something. I mean, it doesn't mean that I don't get mad, but I don't act like I used to. And I go, well, maybe they're having a bad day, you know, or whatever, because you just don't know. You just don't know what other people are going through. I thought I was going through the worst of the worst all the time, and no one could compare with what I was going through, but I know that's not right now. I know that's not true. And, you know, saying this prayer in the morning, grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. That means I'm kind of on God's team now. Like, I'm part of the team, and I need to, and I'm, all he wants, you know, the main thing he wants me to do is just be of service to his other kids. I heard somebody say that on a panel here one time. He just wants us to help his other kids. So I just try and do that. I try. And you know what? It feels good. Like, the stuff that I used to try and get out of, and I used to work so hard to get out of and manipulate my husband so I wouldn't have to, like, bathe this kid or manipulate a friend or my mother or whoever. It's just so much easier just to do the right thing, just to do it, just to show up. It's not as exhausting. It's a good life. And, you know, and he said, the prayer says, remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. So I might have a character defect. I might get mad one day, and I don't know. And it actually, you know, like you said, I mean, that defect of character might be useful in that moment. But I have to be careful with that, because I can make anything God's will in my head. I mean, I really can. So, I mean, I feel like that's all I have on that, but we're really early.
All right. Who else has something to say about steps 5, 6, and 7? I'll bring you the microphone.
Uh-oh.
I am an alcoholic.
Okay.
The last couple of sentences that you read in step 7 are really important to me because it was pointed out, it doesn't say all my defects of character are going to go away, but they're not going to be there if I'm honestly trying to get close to God as I understand God and trying to be of service to my fellows. If I'm going to go out and do something to try to feed my own ego, they're all going to be right there. Come back in spades. I mean, this happens all the time because I do have that problem too. But one of the things that my first sponsor told me that you reminded me of was he said, Dan, every day I want you to do 3 nice things for people you don't know, and if anybody sees you, they don't count. Because I want the credit. And this was about 3 years ago. I've been sober for a good while, and I was going to a grocery store, and this old woman just had emptied her cart and walked up to her, and I didn't recognize her from behind. She just got a new vehicle, and I said, can I take your cart back for you? And she said, well, thank you. Dan, how are you? My ego was like, finally, all this time, this is finally paid off, because it's, you know, because that was what I felt like, oh, cool, I'm going to get credit for this one. And, you know, and that's why I'm pretty sure the wisdom of my sponsor to say, if anybody sees you, it doesn't count. So I still try to do that today. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing.
Who else has something?
No.
No?
Just passed.
Sorry. I know there are lots of people who want to talk. Melissa.
Thanks, Amy. And yes, Melissa, I'm an alcoholic.
Melissa.
Part of step 5, that we pocket our pride and go to it, eliminating every twist of character, every dark meaning of the past. That was really tough for me too, like you were sharing, Johnny, like I had things in there that I swore I would never talk about, things that incomprehensible demoralization, and it was actually when I did a 4th and 5th step with a sponsee that I actually opened up and shared some of those things. I did the best that I could to my abilities when I did my own 4th step, but it was that experience of working with another person, working with another alcoholic, that really took that last part of me away and said, you know what, this isn't about you anymore. This is about someone else, and I knew what it felt like to sit in that person's shoes, to be like, okay, I'm terrified, you know, this person, because I was terrified of everything too. I didn't know, you know, I wanted people to like me, I didn't want people to judge me, I judged everybody else then. I would do anything and everything, say anything and everything to get you to like me, to know if you were a good person, a bad person. I wanted to feel loved. So when I had that experience with the sponsee and went through those things, there were things that I told that I swore I was never going to tell, and they really weren't that bad, but to me, it was the worst thing possible. And I did the same thing. I sat up here on the table talking about resentments and then talking about the first step and told these things to a whole room full of people. And I was like, there's no way I was ever going to do that. But working these steps, getting out of my own way, letting God in, and realizing that it's not about me anymore. It's about other people and what my experience, strength, and hope can do and help someone else to recover from, you know, alcoholism. I have to live with this every day, but I don't have to live with the shame and the guilt and the remorse every day. You know, I don't regret my past. My experience has helped me get to the point that I am, and that will help someone else, which is the purpose, you know, of getting sober to some degree, you know, help working with others. That's my main purpose now, being of maximum service to God and His kids. That's all I got. Thanks.
My name's CJ. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a big fan of step 6 because I'm so bad at it. I get up and I say the 7th step prayer every morning. And but that doesn't do any good if I'm not willing to take different actions. Actually, I always love concerned about this. You know, I can't keep doing the same thing over and over again and expect God to knock things out of my hands. For example, a big thing for me is going to work and talking about people behind their backs because I want to fit in. And if I continue to put myself in those situations, then it might keep happening. And I recently, and this comes up on my evening inventory all the time, and I get almost physically ill seeing it over and over and over again. But step six says become willing. So I'm not willing until I'm willing to do something different. So one day, actually decided to write down every instance throughout my workday. My workday is pretty regimented. It's pretty predictable. But every instance where gossip seemed to just kind of coalesce. And so I had all these opportunities for gossip mapped out throughout my workday, and there were like 15 of them. So I was like, all right, looks like I'm going to be saying the seven-step prayer 15 times tomorrow at work. And guess what? It worked. And also, I can physically remove myself from situations too. I can always step to the bathroom. I can always close my eyes subtly and say a quick prayer. God, give me the correct thought or action. But I have to be willing. And kind of like Johnny said, willingness is not a state of mind. It's an action. I think that's all I can share.
Thanks, PJ.
Jason?
Hey, everybody. I'm Jason. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Jason.
When I got to AA, I've been drinking and taking drugs every day for about 30 years. I really had no idea how to live sober. And walking through the steps for me was a way of trying to learn some tools that I could use to experience life without being intoxicated, without being having anesthetic on my brain all the time. And in the fifth step, some of the things that I feel like I got out of it. One was learning how to share honestly with another person. So I wasn't honest very much when I was drinking. I was hiding. I was lying. I was stuck to a perception of myself I wanted you all to see. And so going through this process, I'm going to share with someone honestly things that I have done that I'm not proud of. It reflects some of who I really am and some of my mistakes. It also taps into some humility because I'm no longer able to say to you, look, here's my job, here's the stuff I have with the people I know. I'm left with, look, I'm another person. I'm one of many. I can start to identify with other people, and I've made mistakes. Sometimes I'm afraid, sometimes I'm selfish, but I'm here because I want to try to do something better with my life. And so learning to share with other people is part of the cleansing that I get from the fifth step, but it's also part of staying sober and living in 10, 11, and 12 on an ongoing basis through my life, because I need to be able to connect with my fellows and talk about what's going on and be honest about it without maybe all the ceremony of a fourth step and a fifth step. But I need to be able to say, hey, I got to work today and someone looked at me strange, or someone cut me off and I'm gonna kill them, or I'm feeling some kind of resentful, petty thought. And the last piece I guess out of that is when they talk about a solitary self-appraisal doesn't help, I can't stay in my head with all this stuff. I've been in my head with these ideas for a long time, and I'm not great at sorting out the truth from the false or the perceived. And so getting out of my head, not doing the solitary, but sharing it with you all, I can get some feedback on it. Either, you know, I'm right in what I perceive and I need to do something about it, or my perception is completely wrong and I need to check that, or what are my motives? And so walking through this is part of the spiritual experience of working the steps the first time through so I can start to live sober, but then being able to do this every day is part of what helps me live in peace. Thanks for what you shared.
My name is Chris. I'm an alcoholic.
Chris.
I feel like I haven't shared at a meeting in a long time because I go to this meeting every week. So it's kind of nice. I guess with the fifth step, I had this wonderful experience with it. I mean, I kind of just followed the directions. I was blessed with that gift of desperation when I first came in here. And I was always a big fan of, like, you know, people always say men won't stop and ask for directions. And I always thought that was garbage. I was like, I'll stop right away and ask for directions. And so finally I'm at a point in my life where I would stop and ask for directions in life. And I was willing to follow the directions and take the suggestions. That was the best suggestion I ever took, was take the suggestions. And it said to do a little bit, my sponsor at the time said to try doing the four step just a little bit at a time, which I did over the course of, like, you know, a few weeks. And, you know, some days I'd sit there and write things like, you know, I got mad at my brother when I was three or something like that. And other days I'd, like, write out the real deal or something and get on a roll. You know, blaze through, like, a whole year of my life and all the things that went wrong in that year and they were stuck in my head. But over time I got it all down on paper and finally went to do the fifth step. And it seemed like this huge hurdle to clear, and I was, like you said, just scared out of my brain to do it. And after, you know, however long it took, it, thinking back, in my memory it took like hours. It probably only took like half an hour or something like that, but it felt like forever at the time. And at the end of this long spiel of, like, me just spouting out and my sponsor sort of stoically just kind of nodding along, or nodding off, whichever it may be. It's, at some point I got to like the end, like it was like yesterday or something that I was talking about, and then I was like, and so I think that's it. And he's like, you sure? Like, and he says, okay, two things. One, you were really, really hard on yourself. And I was like, are you kidding me? Doesn't anybody else think like that? I didn't say anything, but I was just kind of baffled by what he had said. Like, that wasn't how I saw it at all. And then he says, and two, we are a lot more alike than I thought. I was like, so those two things right there, like all of those fears, and all those concerns of, you know, what are others going to think of me? What's he going to think of me? What does it all really mean? Like, all those fears kind of did get lifted. And it was just sort of the nature of the way it happened, but it also fit right along with what it said, like that weight was lifted from my shoulders. And it turns out I was just another sort of garden variety drunk. And, you know, if we made it to these rooms, we all have a lot in common. We're all a lot more alike than we think. And it's not until you find that the only people in your life, you know, for a while, that first year of not going to meetings was the worst year of my life, because there were the people that still drank and drugged, and there were the people that never did. And then there was me, and I was sort of stuck in the middle ground, and I was very much alone there. And so finally getting to these rooms, you know, it didn't make sense that I would be making friends with all these people of different walks of life and different places in life. And until you're there. And so it didn't really make sense until it made sense, which I guess makes sense. So
makes perfect sense.
Anybody else?
Hey, my name's Dan. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Dan.
Yeah, you know, I always thought I had to do everything perfectly, you know, like whether it was with my class and like with my school or my work, which is building decks, which is bad because you can't build a deck perfectly, it'll never get done, but I was still trying to do it, but then I would give up because it's too hard and my class was too hard, and I just go out because it's just easier to just drink, and then I would just forget about it and not care about any of it anymore. But, you know, then eventually when my drinking got bad enough, my alcoholism like ran my life in the ground, which, you know, was me, you know, my alcohol, you know, that's the same thing. I was running my life in the ground, and, you know, I finally was desperate enough to come in here and ask for some help, and then, you know, went through the first four steps, and I got to this one, and, you know, I thought, you know, I had to do the steps. Like, I came in and out of here for 2 years thinking I had to do the steps perfectly, or it wasn't going to work, and I couldn't, and that was too high an ideal for me, and so I just ended up going back, you know, because I thought it had to be like everything else. It had to be perfect, or it wasn't worth doing it. But then this last time, it didn't even matter. You know, I had to do it because I couldn't, you know, I couldn't deal with going out. You know, I knew I couldn't go back out and drink. You know, I was just at that point with my back against the wall. So I just went ahead and did it and did the best I could. And, you know, I got here and, you know, and I told my sponsor about all the, you know, all the resentments and everything else and everything it says to talk about. And I was like, man, I didn't leave anything out. I was real honest. And then, you know, I was driving back from my sponsor's house and I felt great. I felt awesome. You know, I wasn't worried about a bunch of stuff, which, you know, I've been doing a lot of that, you know, my whole life, really. And then I thought about some stuff I forgot. And I started freaking out about it. But then I was like, yeah, it's not a big deal, man. And then I told him about it the next day. So, you know, I guess the point is just that, you know, I didn't have to do it perfectly. I just had to do the best I could and just get through it. And, you know, that's been good enough for me to stay sober so far. Thanks.
Thanks, Dan.
Was there someone?
I'm Sarah.
Hey, Sarah.
I just wanted to say, my fifth step experience, I did not feel a closeness with God. I felt awful. And so I went back to my apartment and spent that hour and did the prayer and started reading steps 1 through 5 and started freaking out. Did I do this right?
Mm-hmm.
And I started reading the fourth step in the 12 and 12. And I'm like, did I answer all these questions? Did I do this wrong? I don't feel good. And my sponsor texted me, how are you doing? Did you do what was suggested? And I said, yeah, I feel awful. And she told me to go to a meeting and share about it. All night long I was just tossing and turning, and if I felt like an open wound, kind of. And the next day I came to this meeting, and it was a speaker meeting, so I ended up going to the dinner afterwards and sharing about it, and found that I wasn't the only one who had that experience. So it really helped for me to open up and share about it. You know, someone told me that the steps don't end at 5, so keep working them. And I found, as I've continued, you know, I have these small spiritual experiences, and I've gained, you know, trust in my higher power, and just keep going one day at a time.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. We are now going to pass the baskets in accordance with the seventh tradition. The seventh tradition states every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. The amount of our contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all groups around the world. Announcements. Are there any AA-related announcements? Very nacelle announcement. Yes.
My name is Ashley, I'm the Southeast Supreme Court of
Thanks. Okay, Simple Actions is a home group. If you are interested in joining our home group, please see one of us after the meeting. Home group members, please raise your hands. Newcomers, is there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety we would like to welcome you? Yes.
My name is Robert.
Hi, Robert. Welcome.
Hi, my name is Katie. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Katie. Welcome. Welcome. Literature.
Hi, Melissa.
Hi, Melissa. Welcome. Literature is available over there. Please see me or any home group member after the meeting if you would like to purchase a big book. Sponsorship. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. Anyone willing to be a sponsor, please raise your hand. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship in AA, I will be available at this table after we close the meeting. Please feel free to ask any questions. Reminders, smokers, please use the butt can provided outside. Stay well away from the church doors. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. Again, would everyone join me in thanking the panel for tonight? And thank everyone else for participating. After we clean up, all are invited and encouraged to continue the conversation on the steps discussed tonight at the meeting, after the meeting, which will be held at Plaza del Sol, which is on 22nd Street. Will someone volunteer to read the last two paragraphs on page 164? BJ.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly display more to you and us. Ask him in your morning meditation and what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you tread the road of happy people. May God bless you and keep you in the world.
Thanks, TJ. We have a nice day of closing.
Kingdom.